Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber of Bethel Church in Tupper Springs, Ohio, where our mission is connecting people to God. I'm very excited to share the Word of God with you today because I believe God's Word is a powerful weapon designed by the Father to set the captives free. I trust the Holy Spirit will anoint this message and it will personally minister to you and set you free. God bless and enjoy this message. We have been taking a stroll through Romans. And of course, a stroll is a leisurely walk. And when you take a leisurely walk, what you do is you take the time to do what they always say, smell the roses, or look at things that you usually don't look at. And that's what we're doing with Romans. We're walking through it leisurely. We're not going to look at every passage, but we're going to look at some very important aspects that are in the book of Romans so that, we can learn some very basic but very important doctrines of the Church of Jesus Christ. And these principles are so, so important. And the biblical truth of our salvation can be found in Romans. The things that we're going to study are a lot better than this hillbilly proverb that I ran across. It says, before you criticize a man, walk a mile in his shoes. That way, when you do criticize him, you'll be a mile away and you'll have his shoes. Well, I guess that's kind of silly, isn't it? But the reality is, there is truth in the Word of God. God, particularly in Romans, we're going to find some things this morning. I want you to remember what was just said about it's seek and find. Because God has a plan to find anyone who will cry out to Him. Let's take a look at Romans chapter 1, verse 5, if you'll turn there. And I'm going to read from Romans. My Bible is a New King James. That's what I usually use. Some of you may be using something on your phone or a pad, or maybe you have a Bible, you have a different translation. Hopefully we can follow along here. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 through 5. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into His grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, who was given to us. All right, one of the things we see here is that we can walk in the glory of God, but we also recognize that there is such thing as tribulation. You know, one of the things that we recognize that we are taught from the New Testament, and particularly in the book of Acts, is that the apostles, when they were persecuted, they counted it joy. They said, that in fact, one particular place in Acts chapter 5, verse 41, after they had been beaten for their testimony of Jesus Christ by the council, they went away rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer for the name of Jesus Christ. Now, they truly suffered for the name of Jesus Christ. They were persecuted time and time again. We really don't know what that kind of persecution is. We think it's persecution when we get up to go to work and we have a flat tire. Or our Happy Meal doesn't get out as quickly as we want it to. Things that just go through normal life situations. But real persecution is going on all over the world right now as I speak. People are being persecuted and in many various ways. They're being tortured. They're being forced into slavery. And many are being martyred because one reason, because they love Jesus and they refuse to turn from proclaiming Him as Lord and Savior. That's real tribulation. That's real persecution. Now, for us, you know, we're not experiencing that right now. Who knows what the future may bring? But we should be praying that that does not happen. That does not come here. We should be praying for our brothers and sisters all over the world. That God will give them strength and courage to stand no matter what is happening. So tribulation is a reality. Martin Luther was a reformer of the church and the Protestant and founder of the Protestant movement. And he wrestled with the book of Romans. He wrestled with this book because he realized that some of the things that he was being taught in the organized church of that day was not biblical. And he came to some conclusions after studying the book of Romans and wrestling with the book of Romans. This book made a profound difference in his life and set him on a course that has really changed the world. As Luther studied Romans, he began to understand some of the false teaching, some of the things that were being taught to him. And he came to this conclusion. And we'll be looking at some of these principles. Salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Very simple. You can't work your way into heaven. You can't connect yourself to a specific group and get into heaven. Praise God that we have this awesome body that we can come together on Sunday mornings. And we get to worship and glorify and praise God. Amen. And have a great time in the Lord. But just because you're a part of this body doesn't make you a believer in Jesus Christ. It doesn't give you a ticket into heaven. You have to have that personal relationship with the Lord. We're going to talk more about that this morning. And that's why I wanted you to remember what was said earlier, what AJ or Alan said to me this morning about it being seek and find, because He's seeking you. He wants to find you. You can't hide from Him. He's calling your name this very morning. He's calling out to you. All right, the first principle that we're going to look at is found in Romans 5:1 that we just read. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, some of these terms that we throw out in the church, you know, I've been a Christian for a long, long time, too many years to even count now, but praise God. When I was a young man, I accepted Christ as my personal Savior. And I've heard all these terminologies that we're going to be, some of these things that we're going to talk about. Justified is one of them. Being justified in Christ. Sometimes we just throw terms around and, you know, we have new believers in our midst. We have people that have not really been taught the Word of God. So sometimes when we throw out a term like justified, they don't really have a basis for what justification is. So I think it's important that we try to make that as clear as possible. The word, the Greek word, that is rendered justified, means to show regard as just or innocent. To show that someone or look at someone as being innocent. To be justified by faith is to be regarded or judged as innocent by Almighty God. This is a big deal. Because according to Romans 3:23, we're all sinners and fall short of the glory of God. We can't reach God on our own. We've fallen short of that This man, also in Romans 5:19, it says, for as by one man, disobedience, by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. This one man that it's referring to, of course, is Adam. When Adam disobeyed God, Adam and Eve disobeyed God, and they took of the fruit that was forbidden, of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they immediately became disobedient to God and became sinners. And the Greek word here in Romans 5:23, all have sinned, means to miss the mark. We've all missed the mark. Not a one of us is able to hit the mark in order to have that relationship with God. You see, when they disobeyed, they severed their relationship with Almighty God. They were walking in the garden. They had this perfect place to live and a perfect relationship with Almighty God, Heavenly Father. And every day it says God would come down in the cool of the day and walk with them. That's a personal relationship. That's communion with Almighty God. And when they disobeyed, that was severed. They no longer had that personal relationship with Almighty God. And because of their sin, every human being born on the face of the earth is born a sinner. Now, we're not saying that people are terrible, mean, and nasty, although there's a lot of them out there that are. But that's not the qualification here. The qualification is that you are born into a situation that was created by Adam and Eve called sin. Sin is now our nature. Sin is a part of who we are. All have sinned and come short. That phrase comes short in verse 20 in Romans 3:23. Means to be inferior, generally, to fall short, be deficient. All people have missed the mark and are deficient of what? Of the glory of God. That word glory means the opinion, the judgment, the view of God. In the New Testament, it almost always means that it's a positive thing. The glory of God refers to His honor and His glory. But in this particular case, it's saying that we almost always, or all people all the time, fall short of the opinion, a positive opinion from God. But He would like to have that good opinion of us. The imagery here is, and I'm sure many of you have heard this before because it's a pretty popular way of explaining this, but the imagery here is of an archer standing and shooting at a bullseye. And as hard as he tries, he may be a marksman, but as hard as he tries, he cannot hit that bullseye. He tries and tries and tries. And he can't hit that bullseye. So the judge is forced to disqualify him. The judge has to say, you're disqualified. You need to go off into outer darkness. That's what Jesus said. But the Word of God gives us hope because it says we've been justified. Regarded or judged innocent by God. A way of thinking, and when we see the word justified in regards to believers, is that just as if we've never sinned. Just as if we've never sinned. Even though we're born sinners. Just in the sight of God, just as if we've never sinned. There's a story of a Persian king by the name of Frederick the Great. Prussian king, I'm sorry. As he toured Berlin prison, The prisoners fell on their faces and cried out to him, we're innocent, please pardon us. We didn't commit the crime that they said we did. All of them except one man just stood aside. Finally, the king said to him, come over here. Why are you here? He said, I committed armed robbery, your majesty. And the king said, are you guilty? He said, yes, indeed, your majesty. I did the deed, and I deserve my punishment. Frederick summoned the jailer, and he ordered the jailer, release this man. I cannot have him kept in this prison where he will corrupt all these fine, innocent people who occupy it. Wow. He was guilty, but he was pardoned. Now, it's a story. We don't know whether there's anything, any truth to it or not, but it's a story. But the reality is, that's where we are. We're guilty. Guilty as what my grandma and grandpa would say, guilty is sin. I didn't understand that for a long time. Now I do. I understand what it means to be guilty of sin. We are guilty. And yet, God has justified us, just as if we never sinned. Amen. Back to Romans 5:19. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. We are made righteous also. Because we're justified, we're righteous in the sight of God. Righteous means innocent, faultless, guiltless, approved of, accepted of God. The best way to understand righteous, to be a righteous person, is to be in the right standing of God. Because we're justified, we have right standing with our Heavenly Father. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says this, for He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. Because of Jesus Christ, we become righteous. God is able to look at us. He's justified us through Jesus Christ. And He looks at us and He says, you can stand in my presence. You're righteous. Thomas Watson, a 1600s Puritan preacher and author, said this, God does not justify us because we are worthy, but by justifying us, He makes us worthy. Worthy to stand in the presence of God. Righteous in His right standing. How do you do that? Of course, He did it by sending His Son, Jesus Christ. And when we put our faith in Christ, we are justified and we are righteous. Back to Romans 5:1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a simple process for all people. Being justified and being righteous means that we've put our faith in the Messiah, the one that God sent to die for all the sins of the world. Romans 5:9-11 says this, much more than having now become justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. We've been reconciled. We've been brought back together, been reunited with our God. We were separated because of sin. Now, through the blood of Jesus Christ, we have the opportunity to be reconciled to Almighty God, our King. because we're born descendants of Adam, we have been separated. But Genesis tells us that they had that perfect relationship. God mends that relationship once again by Jesus. God, in his infinite wisdom, chose to come to earth to become a man, to allow himself to be put on the cross. And make no mistake, nobody put him there. He went there of his own free choice. He could have stopped it, but he chose to love you and me and every person on the face of this earth so much that he was willing to go to that cross, put himself on that cruel cross, and die for our sins. He was abused and beaten, spit upon, cursed, and then punished for our sins. We must see how crucial this is and how important it is to our life to recognize how good our God is to us. What he did for us. Of course, we know, most of us know John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe on him should not perish but have eternal life, everlasting life. And then verse 17 says, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Jesus didn't come to condemn anyone. He came to put the enemy in his place. He came to take authority over satanic forces. But he didn't come to condemn people. He came to speak the truth and tell us that he loved us so much that he was willing to spread his arms and die on that cross for us. Thank you, Lord God, that you did just that for me. So many years ago, I was able to kneel at an altar in a little country church and say, God, I'm a sinner. Forgive me. Forgive me. Receive me. And I want you to know, when I got up from that place, I was not the same person. I came in a young man who had chosen most of his teenage life to turn from the God that my parents had taught me to serve. When I knelt at that altar, that young man died, and a new man stood up and walked out those doors. Oh, what a good God we have. Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You see, there is a wrath that is coming for those who reject Jesus Christ. We can be saved from that wrath, that judgment that is to come upon all who reject Christ. God has prepared a place for the devil and his angels, but he's also going to allow mankind to go there. It's a choice that every person makes. If you choose to reject the Lord Jesus Christ, you choose to reject his salvation from the wrath that is to come. Here's what John 3:36 says. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life. And he who does not believe in the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. The wrath of God abides on those who reject Jesus in this life and in the next. However, according to 1 Thessalonians 5:9, for God did not appoint us. He's talking to believers. This is the hope. Not just hope, but in the kind of hope that we think of. This is the promise we have. Amen? The promise comes from the Word of God that he has not appointed believers to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Faith in Jesus Christ justifies you, just as if you never sinned. Makes you righteous, allowing you to stand in the presence of God, right standing with God the Father. Justification and righteousness are free gifts that are given to us through the blood of Jesus Christ. All, anyone who believes on the Lord Jesus Christ receive these free gifts and we're redeemed by, my third point, is we're redeemed by the grace of God. Romans 3:24, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Redemption means, the Greek word means liberation, procured by the payment of a ransom. Ransom paid in full. Hallelujah. I'm sure that everyone has heard of the ransomware that some unscrupulous groups are using to hold a lot of businesses, companies, ransom. They use their technology, some kind of a virus that they're able to insert into their computers, and they hold these organizations. Sometimes it's even, I know of hospitals that this has happened to. They hold them hold them hostage, unable to do business until they pay a fee to be able to release that virus, because the people who do it are the only ones that know how to do that. They release that virus so they can continue to do business. Millions of dollars have been paid off and millions of dollars have been lost because of ransomware. But they have paid. How many have heard of the missionaries that are in Haiti? That I haven't heard anything lately about them. Has anybody heard anything? Have anything happened with them recently? Now, last I heard, the people that were holding them were asking $1 million per person. So 17, I think there were 17 of them, $17 million is what they're asking for. And they said they're going to begin killing people if they don't get their money. The only way to save them could be pay the ransom. That's what we're talking about here, is a ransom, a payment that has been made for our freedom. A couple times lately, I've gone across the Belpre, the bridge, the toll bridge, and as I drive up to pay and give them my ticket, the person in there says, oh, the person ahead of you paid for you. They paid my toll. It was free for me to cross that bridge. Sometimes when I look at that bridge, I cross it, I think, man, I'm not sure I want to cross this thing. You noticed how rusty it is? But it was paid for. Paid in full. That's what Jesus did for us. He paid this ransom. And it was because of the grace of God that ransom is paid for us. Yes, Jesus paid the price. And it's all by the grace of God. And the grace is unmerited favor, unsecured favor, undeserved favor. I don't deserve the favor of God. You don't deserve the favor of God. I don't, you know, some of you are really nice people. And I really, you know, I like being around you. What did you say?
I did.
Some of you. I wasn't talking about Darren. Lisa said it. Okay. So I'm going to have to include everyone. You're all really nice people. So Some of you, I know, you can be really nasty sometimes. We, no matter how nice and how good and how kind you are, you're not good enough for the grace of God. And yet it is, or His redemption. But because of His grace, He gives this to you. It's a free gift. Praise God. In a small cemetery in a parish churchyard in England stands a granite tomb. On this tomb it says, John Newton, pastor, once an infidel, a libertine, a dealer of slaves in Africa, was by the rich mercy of our Lord Jesus, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, preserved, restored, pardoned, appointed to preach the faith he had long labored to destroy. Now, you may not remember the name John Newton, but I'm sure every one of you in here will remember the song written by John Newton. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. He understood the grace of God. He truly believed himself to be a wretch, to be unworthy of the pardon that God gave him. And yet, because of the grace, he understood the grace of God was so powerful that he was forgiven and received salvation in Jesus Christ. And the last thing I want to share with you this morning is, because of all this, we are special. If you receive Christ as your personal Savior, you are a very special person. Because 1 Peter 2:9 says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Ooh, that's good stuff, isn't it? You are chosen. You're a priesthood. You're royalty in the name of Jesus Christ, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now obtain mercy from God. Because of God's grace, we have mercy from our Almighty God. Mercy is to help one afflicted or someone who is seeking aid to be there for them. In the kingdom of God, mercy is granted to those who seek or are asking God for that mercy in their life. Meet me, God. Hear me. I'm crying out to you. I'm a sinner. I need to be saved by your grace because I know it's your grace alone. Pour your mercy on me. God's mercy is so powerful. He wants to have mercy on every human being in the face of the earth. But he has a requirement. It's very simple. Recognize you're a sinner and proclaim his Son, Jesus Christ, as your Lord and Savior. It's simple, but sometimes it's very difficult. It's difficult to step out of where you are in life, your comfort zone that you have established, and say, God, take me as I am. Here I am. That's all he desires. He desires people who will say, I need you, Father. I need you more than anything else in my life, anything else in this world. I need you. There's a story told about a mayor in 1935, in the midst of the Depression. His name was Lagarde, mayor of New York City. He showed up one night at court, at the night court, and he dismissed the judge and said, I'll take the seat tonight. And he was going through the different cases, and finally he came to one, an elderly woman who had been brought in on charges of stealing bread. And when he was, when she stood before him, he asked her, "Are you guilty?" And she said, "Yes, Your Honor, I'm guilty." And then a clerk came up and whispered in his ear. And the clerk told the judge she was stealing bread because she has 5 grandchildren in her home, and she has no way of feeding them. The judge was kind of in a difficult position, didn't know what to do, and then he came up with an idea. He said, "Ma'am, I must punish you for this crime." He said, "So I'm going to either charge you $10, and remember, this was in the midst of the Depression. $10 was hard to come by. I'm going to charge you $10 fine or 10 days in jail." And then he took his hat, which was laying beside of him, and he took out $10 and put it in his hat. And then he passed the hat around to everybody in the courtroom, and he said, "Now I'm going to fine every individual in this room 50 cents because you all live in a city where a woman, a lady, would have to steal bread to feed her grandchildren." And of course, they all understood what was going on and they willingly gave. The story goes that when she left there that day, she not only paid her fine, but she had $47.50 to take home and buy food for her children, her grandchildren. Amen. That's mercy. Yeah. I want you to know our God has to judge because He's a righteous judge. And He is going to judge someday. He's going to judge believers, and we're going to praise God. We're not going to be judged by the same judgment that unbelievers are going to be judged by, but He's going to judge believers, and there's going to be rewards for serving Him. But the unbelievers are going to be judged based on whether they accepted the Savior, the Messiah, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, or rejected Him. And if they rejected Him, He's going to say, "Depart from me. I never knew you." But our God is such a merciful and gracious God. He has given us the opportunity to be able to have eternal life and live with Him forever. You don't deserve it, but His grace and His mercy is offered to you. He wants to mend that broken relationship. This morning I've shared things with you that for many sitting in here, you've heard those things many times before. Some of you, maybe you haven't. Maybe you didn't know that you could have this personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. But today I'm going to offer that relationship to you. I'm going to ask everyone to stand with me. Greatest day in my life was when I knelt before my Lord and received Christ as my Savior. I've had a lot of good things happen in my life. A lot of things that I can be thankful for. Marrying a wonderful woman, having great children, being the pastor of this church. There's just numerous things I can be thankful for. But nothing in this life is equal to receiving Christ as your personal Savior. It will change everything. Everything. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask everyone, just bow your head. If you're in here this morning and you've never said, "Jesus, I'm a sinner and I need to be saved by your grace. If you've never done that, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand so I can pray with you. Is there anyone in here that has not received Jesus? Hallelujah. All right. Praise God. Thank you. Hallelujah. All right. Is there anyone else? Don't miss this opportunity. This is your day. God planned this for you. He's opened this door. He wants you to come.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob again. I pray you enjoyed this podcast. What a blessing it has been to have you join us on this social media platform. If you would like more information about Bethel, please check out our website at bethelchurch.community. You can also follow us on our Facebook page at Bethel Church, Tepper's Plains. Have a blessed day, and remember, love never fails.